Readings from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Abhor those who rise up against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
Some words from Luke's Gospel. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. There are an estimated 1.6 billion house sparrows on planet Earth. They're found in Europe, North America, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and the eastern side of Australia. They nest readily and haphazardly anywhere, in a hedge, an eave, a garage, a broken down car. They've been spotted 800 metres down in a British mine and on the 80th floor of the Empire Empire State Building. They are a flock of them who roost in the hedge outside the window where I was preparing this sermon. If there were a definition of an ubiquitous and omnipresent bird, a house sparrow would be near the top of the list. You may not think they're all that striking to look at. They're a small, plain brown bird. Sparrows are the definition of what's common and unusual. Yet Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. And it's the commonality of the sparrow that's the foundation of Jesus' teaching on his concern of God for the sparrow. And by his extension, Jesus is declaring God's concern for all he's created, including those created in his own image, humanity. There may be 1.6 billion house sparrows in the world, but God cares for all of them. They are birds that we may consider to be indistinguishable, but they will each have slightly different marking patterns, personalities, nesting spots, and so each one will be unique. So in their ubiquity, they have uniqueness, and they are all recipients of God's universal care. We have a very human-centered view of how the world works. We think that we are the be-all and end-all of everything. The world revolves around us. Yet God cares for sparrows, salamanders, sequoias, and sea cucumbers just as much as he cares for Susans and Simons. Jesus' words in our reading from Luke's Gospel are an affirmation that we are known and loved by God, but they are also an affirmation that every aspect of creation is known and loved by God. There is nothing worthless in creation. Every creature is uniquely loved and cared for by God. We come this morning to our final reflection on what it means to be a creation-shaped disciple of Jesus. And the aspect of creation we're reflecting upon is uniqueness. No one knows, apart from God, precisely how many species of living organisms there are on planet Earth. There are at least 2 billion, and there could be as many as 2 trillion. From the smallest microbe to the largest blue whale, there's an almost infinite variety in the kaleidoscope of life that inhabits God's good creation. There is so much variety, yet even amongst the smallest, there will be unique markers, differences between everything, even at only the molecular level. There are over 8 billion human beings on planet Earth. Yet you are the only one sat in that seat, hearing these words, breathing those unique molecules of air that have been floating around this planet for possibly thousands of years, that have arrived in front of you to oxygenate your lungs at this particular moment in time. Not one of you will have the same DNA sequence. Not one of you will share the same pattern of irises in your eyes. Not one of you will have the same fingerprints. C.S. Lewis wrote in The Weight of Glory, there are no ordinary people. Your neighbour is the holiest object presented to your senses. And there is a sense of this as we reflect upon those words from Psalm 139. The psalm as a whole is about God's comprehensive knowledge of the psalmist. Right at the beginning, the psalmist says, you search me, Lord, and you know me. And through contrasting images, the psalmist explores this. And he doesn't even have the fullness of words to express this, because he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. He recognizes the fullness of God's presence in the world around him.
He looks to the heavenly realms, and God is there. He looks to the realm of dead and acknowledges that God is there. He looks as far as he can to the east, as far as he can to the west, and God is there. God's hand will hold him in his life wherever he is. Even in the darkness, which the people of Israel at the time believed symbolized the absence of God, God will be found. God will be found and will hold you fast. Yet from this universal scale, the psalmist then switches to a more intimate perspective in verse 13 and reflects on the involvement of God in their life from the moment that we would call conception, or as the psalmist refers to it, being knitted together in their mother's womb. The word frame hints at our concept of embryo. Secret place is coded language for a woman's uterus. The depths of the earth are an image of fertility. Yet the psalmist doesn't speak of this as a merely human event and uses the language of needlework to talk of being woven together as an act of creativity by God. But the words that stand out to me are fearfully and wonderfully made. Words that express the wonder at the quality of the crafting and the mystery involved in the creation of human life, whatever form it takes. God was present at the moment of your conception, and God will be present all your days. The final section of the psalm talks of God being present in the trials of life. The psalmist is under threat in his life, yet God is still with them. And he rounds things up by saying those words which echo back to the beginning. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a psalm about God's comprehensive knowledge of the psalmist, but it's also a psalm about God's comprehensive knowledge of each of us. God is with us in our lives in a unique way. Our experience of God is as unique as our fingerprints. It's as unique as our DNA. There will be commonalities, but it will be unique. Why? Because you are known by God individually. We spend a lot of time as followers of Jesus thinking and talking about how we can know God, but perhaps not enough time reflecting on how we are known by God. Paul writes of this being known by God several times in his letters. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God in Galatians, and twice in 1 Corinthians, but whoever loves God is known by God. For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We may come to know God, but perhaps even more remarkable reality is that we are known by God, the one who is the creator of the universe. And not in some sense of a figure looking down to the earth as if they're in a plane, looking at everyone as an insignificant speck. No, God sees us as unique individuals with our own stories, our own strengths, our own weaknesses. We are uniquely known by God, and we need to remember this. We are known, loved, and valued as God's children, created in his image and of immeasurable worth to the one who created the universe, to the one who came and died on the cross to save us. Yes, we are to look for and seek God in our lives, but sometimes we just need to still ourselves and stop and remember that God has found us. There was the chorus to a popular worship song in the 1990s that went, "I found Jesus." And for those of us with my level of humor, like to comment that we didn't know he was lost. The song is theologically correct, But it does make it all about us, and perhaps forgets that God is the shepherd who searches out the lost sheep, which is all of us. We are known by God as well as being able to know God. And this knowledge God has of us is unique. God knows us deeply and intimately. In our reading from Luke's Gospel, we have the words, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And even for those who are follically challenged, as well as those who have luscious heads of hair, this promises an intimacy with God's knowledge of our lives. God knows all of creation, but God knows humanity in a special way, a deep way. Perhaps because that knowledge can be returned and recognized by us, the reciprocity and consciousness of our relationship with God, and this is what possibly makes us unique in all creation. It's a blessing, but it also comes with a responsibility. And that's why Jesus says we're more important than sparrows. It's not that sparrows are not important to God. It's just that we're especially important to God. In that we can relate to him in a unique way as well. But how important do you feel to God at this moment? Whatever dark mood you may be passing through, whatever slough of despond, whatever pain, whatever sorrow, whatever apathy, whatever joy, whatever ecstasy, how important do you feel to God at the moment? No matter how unimportant you may feel to God at this moment, you need to remember God is reaching out and finding you important. In the uniqueness of the situation you find yourself in at the moment, be it bereavement, illness, job insecurity, abuse, breakdown of relationship, God reaches out and finds us and says, "You are known, loved, and valued by me." The hard periods of our life are often the times when we feel without the resources to reach out and find God for ourselves. Those times when prayer and reading our Bible becomes a burden rather than a blessing. Times when our experience of knowing God becomes diminished. Yet we need to know and remember that at these times God is there reaching out to find us. The God who has fearfully and wonderfully made you will not leave you. You have a unique relationship with God, and God will preserve that unique relationship. Being known, loved, and valued as God's children, fearfully and wonderfully created in his image, and of immeasurable worth to the one who's created the universe and the one who came and died on the cross to save us, can be a profound antidote to all the ways the world tries to label and define us. As followers of Christ, we are those who are known by God. The common house sparrow is known and loved by God. So are you. In an even more special way. So hold on to that. May we cherish, stand firm, and be overwhelmed by this unique and universal truth. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you know us. You have known us since the moment of our conception. You know us because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have known us through every time and season of our lives. And you know us in this very moment. You know us in the things that are going well and the things that are not going so well. You know us when we feel close to you, when we feel distant from you. And may we hold on to that amazing knowledge that we are known by the God who is the creator and savior of the universe. We pray this in your special name. Amen.